As leaders, we've really enjoyed this series, and I think actually we've had a lot of positive feedback from it, and it's been overall really good. I think really helpful to many people, and it's been great to do it. And so I'm going to be continuing. There we go. Hopefully that will kind of work a bit better. And obviously we've looked at some fantastic subjects. We've looked about the power of the cross and how we're kind of here to do more than just be Christians, but to become and to reign in Christ and have his authority and live with him. We've looked at kind of his wonderful grace. We've looked at having no idols. We've looked at being born again and walking in the Spirit. And there's many amazing things we've done. And today I have the privilege of talking about, being alone with God. Now for some of you that might kind of slightly fill you a little bit with dread. You think, oh, what's this? Oh, that's always really difficult. And I'll be honest, this is not the most exciting subject. It's not like with Tim a few weeks ago talking about dealing with the enemy and it's kind of something to kind of get really into or kind of excited about. We're talking about grace and that wonderful, wonderful thing of grace. We're talking about being alone with God. Not the most exciting subject. But I want to say this. I think this is such a key for us as Christians. That if we want to be Christians that go on with God, that mature in him, that go and give him glory and bear much fruit, and if we want to be Christians who live daily in the victorious Christian life, then this is something that has to be so key for us. And if we're weak in this area, we'll be weak across our whole Christian life. I'll use the picture of a boxer. Now, I know some of the guys here at the back are quite into their boxing, and they know a lot more than I do. And we've been watching some of the heavyweight fights. I like boxing, mainly just the big heavyweights just going and trying to punch each other out. And it's been so good watching boxing with these guys because they know what they're talking about. And so they're kind of telling you some of the stuff that's going on and what's going on, right? But the thing about boxer, right, is and to win a boxing match, you've got to last 12 rounds. Like, it's no use being a boxer that's kind of got all the muscles and it look really good and you've kind of got all the power and you're able to kind of knock people out really easily. You've got to be a boxer that can last. Because otherwise what will happen is, like, if you've got no endurance and no fitness, you might look really good, you might have all the strength, and if you'll get to the first round and you'll go there and you'll be landing the punches, you're looking really good, you're like hitting them, landing the punches, and it's looking like you're doing really well. But come to round two, as punches will kind of start to maybe not kind of land so well, or maybe slightly slower, and you'll get to the middle rounds and you'll be really puffing at that stage, and you can see it. I'm sure you, Tom and Jimmy, you've seen loads of matches where the boxers get to the middle rounds and they're just puffing, and they're kind of, their punches just aren't landing, they're all quite soft. And of course, if they last the 12 rounds, or by the end, they're literally kind of dead on their feet, and they're kind of looking like this, and you can just go up to them and kind of just push them over and they'll get knocked down. And I think for us as Christians, that we're not treating our alone time with God as a priority in our lives, we'll be like those boxers that look great and have got all the power and be good. On a Sunday, you're going, yeah, home, yeah, amen, just brilliant. But by the time you get to Thursday, Friday in the week, you'll be kind of puffing and blown all over the place. And so we've got to treat this as something that we need to see as a real priority in our life, even if it's not the most exciting subject. So why then do we need to be alone with God? Why is it so important? Well, firstly, it's important because it's really, really important to God. It's something that God is looking for with us. Now, I want to take you right back to the very beginning. Okay, I'm not going to talk about too much about Adam and his fall. Tim mentioned that in his first talk of the series. But I want to kind of take you back to when everything was perfect. And God had made creation, he'd made man, and it was all good. What was it? What was God doing with Adam? Now, the Bible doesn't kind of tell us loads, but you kind of, when Adam does sin, what happens is, you see, God goes out for his kind of evening walk with Adam. And that's when he says, Adam, where are you? And so for me, I kind of had this picture that before that happened, that God would come and spend time with Adam, almost going on those daily walks with him, where he's walking with Adam and talking with him and having that close friendship with Adam. And to see that God, when God made everything perfect, that's how he designed it to be. That's how his idea of perfection is, that he was walking daily with Adam. And the thing that, when I was thinking about this, that you know, you have to, that I kind of that came to me was that Adam would have been naked. So he was walking with God naked. Now, being naked is quite an intimate thing, isn't it? Like, you'd be pleased, I'm not going to take my clothes off right now. It'd be very awkward. But for you, for most of us, we're probably the only times we're kind of ever naked is when we're kind of getting dressed, or maybe when we're kind of having a wash, or maybe in front of our kind of our spouses, because it's something that's quite intimate to be naked. And the only other time I get naked in front of people is in the changing rooms. And I cycle to work, and obviously you get there, and I kind of get out my cycling kit, and then you have to do it. It's a little bit awkward when that happens. I'm not somebody, especially when you come across somebody in the changing room who you kind of work with. Like, as in not just somebody else who works in the building, but somebody like you, and it's quite awkward when you're kind of getting changed and you're basically like, I don't really want to see you naked, because it kind of makes our work relationship very awkward. So you see, there's a kind of intimacy of being naked. And you see, Adam was there daily walking with God naked. And there was that intimate relationship that God had with Adam. And this is what God is looking for. And this is what God wants. It's in his heart to do it, that he wants to come and have that friendship and that intimate relationship with us. Like, sometimes we can think that we have to try and petition God to try and somehow get an audience with him. That maybe that if we do loads of things for God, he might notice us and want to be interested in us. But that's not our God. Our God is a God who is so interested in us, who wants to come and spend time with us. You know, I think that's amazing. That it's God, that the one who has created all things, who has done such amazing things, is really interested in you, Kat. He wants to know how you are doing. He wants to come and walk daily with you. This is God. He wants to have that intimate, close relationship with us. That's what he wants. That's in God's heart. That's why God sees this as a priority and importance, because it's what he wants. It's in his heart. And you know what? One day when we go to heaven, the best reward is not going to be some big mansion or some amazing feast or kind of living in with some perfect bodies. The real prize is that we get to spend eternity with Jesus. We get to spend it with God in that closeness, in that, not where we're kind of on this earth and he's in heaven, but we're there with him physically together. That's what God has designed, and that's what God wants from us. This is why it's so important to God. It's in his heart. It's what happened. And you see that when Adam fell, that God then enacted his plan to make it so we could come back into relationship with him. Because sin caused a barrier between us and him. And he said, well, that's fine. I've got a plan. And I'm going to do it. And that's where we come to Jesus. And you see, but that's God's heart, that he wants to be alone with us. We're not talking about in church, we're all together here corporately. God loves this. But God is looking something deeper with you and me. Where it's just us, just me and God. It's just you, Angela, and God. It's what God is looking for. That's what's important to him. And if we then turn to our Gospels and look to see the way Jesus was, what's the thing about Jesus that you keep reading about in your Bibles? There you go. Well done. He kept spending time alone with God. I've just got some of the examples here. I'm not going to read through them, but you can kind of get the picture with Jesus, that he was here. This is the Son of God, the one who knows God, who is God, and yet here he is on earth, keeps going away and spending time with God time and time again. He goes off into mountains to pray, goes off into the desert to pray, goes off here and there to go and to pray and to be alone with God. And so for us, you've got to realize that if Jesus saw that as a priority and that was something important for him and that's what he needed, then for us, that's what we need. We need to go and spend that time with God. And of course, what else do we know about Jesus and God? Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And everything I do, it's what the Father's told me to do. I'm basically with my Father. You see, they had that close relationship because they spent that time together, and so Jesus was able to go and do each day what the Father wanted. He was able to move and to go and see the people that he needed to go and see because he had that time with him, that time together. And this is why it's us. If Jesus saw that as important for him, it's important for us. But not only this, it's also Jesus commands us, tells us, in Matthew chapter 6, where he's going and giving his big Sermon on the Mount, he gives this this command to us, because he's teaching us how to pray, and right after this he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. So how does it go? It says, well, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everybody can see you. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And you see, us, for our time, our prayer is not to be just on a Sunday morning standing up. And I appreciate in the context that Jesus is kind of talking about the Pharisees, who would kind of go around and say how amazing, what amazing Jews they were, because they did these really amazing prayers. But for us, it's not even about us kind of just spending lots of time in church or all these other things. It's about us going away and spending that time with the Father in private. And we don't have to take this literally. We don't have to say, well, I can only go and pray to God if I'm in a room with the door shut. Okay? It's talking about kind of, we can use that. The idea is saying, well, no, you go and find somewhere that's quiet, that's just you, there's not lots of other people, lots of other stuff going around, just you and him, just you and the Father. That's what he wants. And that is a challenge for us as Christians. Let's say, well, are we going to go and find that quiet place regularly, daily, to go and spend time with him? And what I'm not going to do this morning, I was originally thinking when I was thinking about this sermon, was to give you loads of practical tips and help about how to go and do this. But instead, I'm going to give you all homework, and you're going to go and do that in home groups this week. But for me, it's this question I really feel the Lord's asking us. Do you want to come and spend time with me? Do you want to go and be alone with me? Because as we look at, in a minute, that it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not super easy at times. It can be really difficult, and we can have lots of reasons why we find it a struggle. But this is the question that the Lord is asking you this morning. Do you want to spend time with me? Because so often, sometimes all the reason, excuses we give for doing it, it comes back to this question of saying, do we want to spend time with him? Because if the answer is no, then it doesn't matter how much I help you and how much practical advice and amazing things that I can do to help you, encourage you. If in your heart you're saying, I don't really want to do this, you're not going to do it. But if in our hearts we're saying yes, then yes, we can provide lots of help and support for you kind of to do this. But this is the question what our Lord's asking. Do you want to spend time with me? Now, we've been in the worship. We've been singing, and it's come out the Lord is looking to build with us. And if you want to build your life upon Jesus, you need to be spending time with him. And the thing about when you build a house, I'm not sure, has anybody here ever built a house? No, I've not. But I saw my father-in-law do it, and sort of all the different stages of it. But you'll know that building a house, right, the first bit is really messy and lots of muck everywhere. You're building your foundations, right? It's not the super most exciting thing to do. The thing we all love is like when the roof goes on, or we can kind of do a nice fancy kitchen, all those kind of things. But if we want to be Christians, our foundations of what we build our life upon God is this time spent alone with him. If you want to build your life on Jesus, you've got to spend time with him. And I want to use a kind of picture to help kind of describe what it's like. Okay, I was really encouraged, and I loved Constantine's talk in the summer, where he was encouraging us about nutrition in the Lord. And so I want to use the picture of food, right, about what alone time with God is like. Okay, is food. Now, for a Sunday morning, right, this is like a big family Sunday roast. Or maybe in the summer, a nice barbecue where you kind of get all the family together, you kind of get people together, and you cook some nice food that's really kind of fulfilling and really enjoyable, and you kind of really enjoy spending that time together. And it's good, big heart, and you come away very full up and hearty and kind of like big bellies at the end of it. Or maybe if you're South African, you just do a braai all year round, even when it's like chucking down rain. It's good. That's what a Sunday morning's like. You come away and you think, yeah, this is good. I spent time with my friends and my family. I feel nourished. And maybe you get things like the prayer meeting, which is a little bit deeper, a little bit richer. Maybe like it's your steak. You kind of go out, you do a nice kind of rich kind of fillet steak, or maybe your lamb chops. Me and Alice treated ourselves last night. We bought some lamb chops and we had them. It's very nice, really enjoyable. And that's what kind of your prayer meeting's like. And you've got things like your home group, which is your kind of midweek curry, or maybe for you Italians, it's your midweek pasta. That's kind of just comforting food, and it's just helpful nutrition and just nourishing for you. Well, I tell you what, do you know what spending time alone with God is like? It's like breakfast. Right, now we're told that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know about breakfast is that when I was younger, I never ate breakfast, like from I was a teenager up and never ate it. And it wasn't until I started working full time that I kind of started to eat breakfast. And the reason was, it was getting to 11 o'clock every morning and I was getting really hungry. I was like, I want to eat my sandwiches. But it's a little bit, I'm like, started off with my career and my new, it's a bit rude to just kind of at 11 o'clock get your sandwiches out. So I'd have to kind of last for that hour. And then after a while, I kind of clocked, well, I'm going to say, if I have breakfast, then maybe I won't get so hungry. So there you go, problem solved. And so for me, breakfast, I eat breakfast every day. But the thing about breakfast, right, it's not an exciting meal, is it? No one goes to bed and thinking, oh, wow, yes, I can't wait to wake up and have my bowl of cereal in the morning. It's exciting. But I mean, so many of us, if we, like, I'm sure some of you have got some really fantastic lunches and dinners planned for today. And there's probably part of you right now is thinking, oh, I'm really looking forward to that nice roast chicken or that nice big bowl of pasta I've got or whatever you've kind of got cooking or going to cook today. But no one wakes up thinking, oh, yeah, my pan of chocolat, brilliant, I can't wait for it. But you realise that breakfast is, we need to have breakfast every day. I want to encourage you to have breakfast because otherwise we go weak. And it does get to 11 o'clock in the morning and we're struggling at work or we're struggling at home or whatever we're doing. We need to have it. And the reason why I like describing alone time with God like breakfast is because breakfast, as I said, it can be quite boring at times. You might have a dry piece of toast or that bowl of cornflakes. But then other times it gets a little bit more interesting. Maybe you do have that pan of chocolat, or maybe you have that kind of nice bowl of muesli that you really like. And of course, other times the breakfast then steps up again, doesn't it? And you have maybe a bacon sandwich, or maybe some yogurt with some fruit. Please insert your favourite kind of types of breakfast. Or maybe you even get those great times where you know you're going to go to the cafe and have that full English breakfast. Or if Andrew was here, have that massive omelette he likes from Aussies. Or maybe you have those kind of American-style pancakes with the bacon and the maple syrup. What it is. And there's a kind of whole different level ranges of breakfasts. And this morning, I don't want to kind of sell you the wrong idea of what alone time with God is like. And I'm not trying to tell you that every day you'll get up and pray or you'll spend time in the evening praying and it'll be absolutely amazing. And you'll feel like you're in the third heavens and the Lord is just ministering to you and you're reading your Bible and these great revelations are coming through to you. That's not what I'm telling you this morning. Reading and spending time alone with God can be like sometimes waking up and eating that dry bit of toast or that bowl of cornflakes. It might not feel very exciting or very kind of, it's been something that's been kind of really helpful. But I want to tell you that spending alone time with God is never, ever wasted. You can do so many things that waste your time. I mean, Tim was talking a few weeks about wasting time on Instagram Reels. And I was convicted, Tim, and I've not looked at Instagram Reels since. Or we can watch kind of rubbish TV, or we can read trashy magazines, or we can kind of do this or that that waste our time. And we can think, oh, what a waste of time that was. But you go and spend time alone with God, that time is never, ever wasted. You might come away from spending time with him thinking, what happened? I spent 15 minutes with him and I got nothing. I felt like I was just praying to thin air or just talking to nobody. I've read some scriptures and just, I can't even remember what it is. That time is never wasted. That's right. Never wasted. You can spend time and it is difficult at times reading your Bible. It's difficult praying. I mean, how many times any of you here have got down to pray and you've been praying for what feels like ages and you think, oh, it must be like 20 minutes, half an hour, and you look at your watch or your phone and it's been 5 minutes and you think, oh, that's what it is sometimes. Yeah, we're all like that. But the encouragement this morning, if we stand in our heart, I want to spend time with God, I want to encourage you to keep going. Keep going with those times. It's not wasted. You'll be surprised what the Lord does in you over time. What the Lord does in your heart and is changing. Roxanne, we loved your prayer this morning. Of that testimony of the Lord changing you and people noticing it. And I tell you what, if you want to have that similar test to me, you've got to spend time alone with God. Even if it feels like nothing's happening, I guarantee you that you'll come back to me in a year's time and you'll say, the Lord has changed me. I've not heard one Christian ever say, well, I spent a year seeking the Lord and nothing happened. The Lord never met me. We might not, as I said, I'm not promising you tomorrow you'll wake up or you'll spend your time tomorrow and things will be amazing. The Lord will kind of reveal great revelations to you. He might not. But our encouragement to us and the call on us is to go away and spend that time with God. We've got to go and do it alone as well. And you see, just if all we're living off is Sunday mornings and the prayer meetings and home groups, then we're going to be weak Christians. We're not going to find God in a deeper way, the way that He's looking for us and for looking to come and to meet with us. Now, I appreciate for many of us, we all come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures, and we have different personalities, and we have different kind of likes. And I appreciate for some of us, spending time reading our Bible is a great joy. And for some of us, it is really difficult. And it's a sort of drudge to get through with reading our Bibles. And I'm not lying to you this morning. Some of this book is a little bit hard going. Some of it, when it starts going on about the genealogies or starts going on about 101 laws that are no longer really that relevant to us, it can be difficult to go through with reading the Bible. But I want to really encourage you this morning to read your Bible. To read your Bible. There is something about this book. It's not some dusty manuscript that was written thousands of years ago that we're kind of dusting off and just seeing as a way to kind of just help us for our life. This is the living, breathing Word of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, if you keep reading this book, it will take hold of you and it will change you. And there was something about it, this book, right, there's no other book around in this entire world, the entire universe, that is like this book. It will take you. It's the Word of God for you. It's the Word of God for us. And if you keep going with it, you keep reading it, it will take hold of you and it will change you. That's what it's done with me. And now, I'll be honest with you, I love reading. But the things I really love reading are kind of adventure stories and fantasy novels. That's my kind of the thing that I love to read. And when I was a young Christian, I used to love reading all those kind of stories in the Bible, like King David going to win all those mighty battles, and Moses leading the Israelites across the Red Sea, and Jesus going to do all these fantastic miracles. And you've got Paul going and doing those amazing things for God. And I remember reading the Acts of the Apostles and being so excited about it as a young Christian. And you read it and you hear about Paul and his journey, and it kind of ends up with him going to Rome. You think, yes, I turn the next page, I read the next book, I find out what happens next. Of course, those of us, we know, what's the next book after Acts? Romans. And so I turned the page, started reading Romans, and I went, what? And I just got completely lost. I was like, what's going on? Where's this story, this exciting story of this Apostle Paul and his amazing adventures? And that book, and I just got so lost in Romans, thinking, what is going on? And dredging. I tell you what, Romans is one of my favourite books of the Bible now. It's something that's so amazing about that book. Every time I read it now, God just speaks to me through it and just takes me in it. It's just something. But I know, as a young Christian, I hated reading it. It was a real struggle to go through with it. But this is what happens when you spend that time with God. When you spend your time reading your Bible, it slowly, slowly gets hold of you. And something deep goes inside and sows inside of you. And I tell you, you can read 101 great Christian books by some amazing men and women of God that are really helpful to you. But they won't hold a touch on reading your Bible daily. Okay, even when you're reading stuff and you think, I don't understand this, it's going in. It's like seeds and just growing and going and going, and you'll be surprised that in 10, 20, 30 years' time, things are coming out of you because of what has been sowed in your heart from reading your Bible. It's what happens. And again, I think when it comes to spending time praying with God, it could be difficult. As I said, you can have those moments where you think, oh, what's going on? Like, what am I saying? What am I doing? But we've got to keep going with this. And it is difficult and it's hard. I mean, I asked the home group leaders to kind of share some of the reasons and excuses that we give as Christians of why we don't want to spend time alone with God. I've got some of them up here right now. You might recognise some of those. Now, some of these, I could say, are actually kind of really valid reasons that I find difficult for us. I'm not trying to just blame us. But I think it goes back to this question. Do we want to spend time alone with God? Because if the answer is yes, then we have to start looking at these and start kind of going and start challenging ourselves over them. Because it's so easy for us as Christians to say, yeah, on a Sunday morning, amen, Lord, I want you to build my life upon you, Lord, amen, worship, amen to what Mark's saying, I want to go and read my Bible. And then it gets to you setting your alarm clock tonight, and you have to set it, you think, oh, it's a bit late, I'm feeling quite tired, I'll just add an extra 10 minutes onto my alarm, or that sort of thing. We've all done it, including me, or like you get up in the morning, the snooze goes off, or when you get that time, maybe in the evening, you're like, I'll spend time with God tonight, and of course it gets there, you think, I'll just watch this one more episode of my TV program, or I'll read my Bible in bed, and then, of course, we all fall asleep when that happens. And we have to sometimes realise this, and we have to challenge ourselves over some of the reasonings behind, because some of these are excuses that we make as Christians of why we don't do these things. I mean, some of them are really, as I said, are valid, and for us as church leaders and as home group leaders, we really want to help you out with some of them. I appreciate some of those reading the Bible. Right? There are some great books out there that can really help you. One of the books that's been really helpful to me over my Christian life is a book called Unlocking the Bible by David Paulson. It's about this thick. It looks really scary, but it's amazing because this guy is very gifted at teaching the Bible, and he goes through each book and basically gives you context of what's going on and kind of says some of the things that, like, when you're reading the books of the Apostle Paul, and he's kind of saying, well, this is what he's talking about here, and this is the context, and this is how it works, and this is what's kind of the themes that are going on. It's so helpful. He does a podcast as well. Does he? Oh, that's good. I assume it's an older one because he's dead now. Yeah. It's beyond from heaven. But yeah, there are things like this that could be so helpful to you in reading the Bible. And if you struggle to pray, there are things that you can kind of do. I know Pat's not here, right? And I hope you won't mind me saying this. Pat is someone who naturally struggles to kind of make time to pray, isn't that? We were talking about this the other day, and he said, oh, don't you know the things that really helped me? I've got this new app called Prayer Mate. And he's like, I write down all my prayers on it. It's so helpful to me. So there are things that we can do. And really, your part of your homework this week for home groups is, rather than me kind of going through all these different things and kind of going through the whole list of it, you're going to tell each other at home group. So you need to come and say, come and be prepared on Wednesday to come and share with the group the things that you have found really helpful. It may be that you'll say, well, for me, I like to be disciplined. I like to have routine. That's how I kind of work. I like to be kind of what I call a flexible routine. Okay, I'm not someone who must like do these things, but I like having it. And so every morning I get up and I go and have a shower, and then I go and pray and read my Bible. That's the way I work. Or sometimes I might have breakfast first. But that's basically what happens. And it works really well for me to make in that time every day to be alone with God. Do you know, the times that I really struggle to pray is on holiday. Because other times you kind of get out of routine and it's kind of you kind of lose it. And so I want you, and I'm challenging all of you guys, to come to home group on Wednesday. And you're not going to spend ages talking about, I'm not going to give you loads of questions about my talk. I'm basically going to ask you to come and share with each other what things have helped you pray and read your Bible. Because that's what we want to kind of do, encourage one another and to face some of these challenges. Like, I really like the one about don't know how to or what to pray. That is sometimes we kind of get before the Lord and say, I don't know what to say. And sometimes that can really put us off. And this, so Enoch raised that one. So I'll be asking you that question, Enoch, about what to do about that on Wednesday. But I think sometimes we have to challenge ourselves to realise that we are just making excuses at times for not wanting to spend time alone with God. And we could be Christians that are like, that love the Lord and want to go on with him, even be mature Christians, and we can realise that in our life, the alarm has got later and later, or going to bed has got later and later, or whatever, or this is kind of, and our time with God has kind of been squeezed out. Because if we are saying, we're answering the question, yes, I want to spend time alone with God, then we've kind of then got to ask ourselves, and said, oh, am I making the time for him? Is it a priority in my life, or is other stuff starting to kind of get more important and take its place from God? And at times, it is difficult. That sleep will affect you. That you will miss out on things by spending time alone with God. But this is the challenge for us as Christians. This is what Jesus said. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. And some of the other versions says you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. There is a cost to being a Christian. There is a cost to spending time alone with God. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your sleep. It will cost you the effort to read your Bible. And it will cost you. But if we're saying we want to spend time alone with God, then we've got to be prepared that it's going to cost us and accept that. And I think so often, sometimes, the reasons we give are, it's really hard to do this, or it's really hard to read my Bible or spend time, it's because we're not prepared to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Jesus asked a lot of us. And he said, are you prepared to give up your sleep? You notice that's my challenge sometimes. Getting there and saying, well, do I set my alarm 10 minutes later in the morning? Are we prepared to take on the cost of following Jesus? Now, this then kind of leads us to the question then, well, how much time should I spend with the Lord each day? Now, we were talking as elders the other day, and we were saying, what would happen to the church if everybody in the church decided to spend 10 to 15 minutes more each day reading their Bible and praying? What would happen to the church? And I think we only sort of chit-chat. This wasn't a big, deep sort of theological chat we were having. But we were saying it would change. The church would change. People would change if that's what everybody did. Now, but what I'm not doing this morning is coming to set you the challenge to read your Bible 10 more minutes each day, or to pray 10 more minutes. Because I think what we don't want to do, and you realise that the Lord is looking for that relationship, that intimate relationship. He's not looking for us just to come and say, well, I must spend this time with God, and I must kind of do it. It's kind of got to kind of, out of kind of legalism, and because of what the church leaders have told me. He's looking for us to go and spend time with him out of love for him, saying, Lord, I want this. I want to go and spend time with you, not just because the preacher said I've got to spend 10 more minutes. So I'm not asking you for 10 minutes. What I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you a question. I would love everybody here to go away and to ask the Lord and say, how much time should I spend with you each day? It's a simple question. Might be quite scared of the answer. Because it may be that you spend 15 minutes every day. The Lord comes back and says, yep, that is perfect for you right now. Keep going with that 15 minutes. I'm loving it. It might be that you're spending 5 minutes and the Lord says, well, I think maybe you could double that to 10 minutes. Or maybe you spend half an hour and the Lord says, well, maybe you need to spend 45 minutes. But this is the thing. We don't live under law. We live under grace. We live under this relationship with God. And so therefore, I want to ask you the question. I want you to go away and ask the question, Lord, how much time shall I spend? And just to prep you, we're going to ask you at home group what the Lord says. Okay? So kind of be nervous. I hope you don't be nervous about that. Because I think sometimes we can challenge ourselves and encourage and say, well, if the Lord told me I need to spend 15 minutes, then we can share that with our home group. We can kind of hold ourselves accountable. And it's not that we're going to, as church leaders, we're going to make a note of it and kind of track you and say, well, John, how much did the Lord say to you? I'll put on our spreadsheet and track it. What about you, Kazim? We're not doing that. It's just to kind of share it. Now, if you are praying 5 minutes every day and you feel the Lord is telling you to now pray for 2 hours every day, then maybe I would kind of encourage you maybe just to double check that. Because one thing the Lord doesn't ask us to do, he doesn't ask us to do things that are too difficult for us. And it's a case of building. And for those of us who maybe spend longer in time of prayer, have learned that it didn't start with us spending an hour each morning. It started with us praying for like 5-10 minutes. Or those of us who maybe read like 5 chapters a day, we started by reading sort of one passage a day. And so it's kind of Lord looking to build slowly with you. But he's looking to build, like we're talking about building your life. A house doesn't kind of get built in a day, it gets built up slowly. And this is what the Lord's looking to you. But I want to challenge you to ask that question. How much time, Lord, should I spend with you? And then if the Lord says that time, then I encourage you this year, spend that time with him. Don't beat yourself up if you mess up one day or you mess up for a few days. That's not how the Lord works. But if you know the Lord's saying, right, you want to spend 20 minutes every day, then you say, right, if it means I have to wake up a bit earlier or I have to make a bit more time or I have to kind of make it... And I appreciate at times we will lose out on other stuff. We might have to say to our family that I'm really sorry, guys. I'm going to go up to my bedroom and shut the door. I'm going to go into whatever room it is, or I'm going to go for a nice walk out there and spend time with the Lord. But we're going to do it. And this is what I want us to finish with this morning. I've asked you two questions about, do you want to spend time with the Lord? Because if the answer is no, no point in asking the second question. But if the answer is yes, then ask the second question. How much time should I spend with you, Lord? And I want to just said finish with this. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, John chapter 15. And Kazim brought this up a few weeks ago, about Jesus being the true vine. About, again, going back to why it's so important to spend time with God. Because not only do we know that God wants that intimate relationship with us, but it's also he wants us to be connected with him. And if we want to be Christians, as I said, that go on and mature and produce fruit and produce glory for the Lord and to live that live the victorious Christian life daily, then we need to be people who abide in him, who spend time with him, who are connected with him. So let's read this. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. This is what it's about. It's about us being with Jesus, living with him daily, that he's the vine, we're the branches, and you know what happens to a branch that gets cut off and doesn't, it's not being nourished by the tree, is it withers and it dies. And this is a challenge for us. If we're not doing this, this is what's going to happen to us. We'll find our Christian life goes cold, it goes stale, and we drift away from the Lord. And this is why it's so important for us to be making sure that we're spending that time alone with him, because it keeps us connected directly to God. Not just that we know coming to church is important. And that is something that's an additional thing for us that is so useful and so helpful. But the important thing is that we are connected directly with Jesus and we abide in him. And you see, this is not only is the challenge about what happens if we don't do it, but also the promise that we do. The promise that we will bear fruit. The promise that we will see things happen, that God will move through us, and then we will bring much glory to the Father. This is what it's about. Being with him in that intimate, close relationship. Letting him come and work for us and change us. And out of that daily time with the Lord, we see that he not only changes us, but he comes and he moves and he uses us, and we bring much glory to the Father. Amen. Let's pray.